This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We're still here.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And here he is riding into town to clean up all the trouble. It's Greg Gabriel. Good morning, Greg.
Hey,
How are you?
Good morning. What kind of trouble is there?
Well, it's just that music. You sound like you're riding a horse into town and you're ready to... It's just an old Western type thing. Whatever trouble is there, you will clean it up.
I just want to know if I have a white hat or a black hat.
You tell us. Depends on the day, right, Greg?
Yeah, there you go. So listen, first of all, let's start with the Super Bowl, Greg. What is the takeaway from that game that make beer fans feel better about themselves? Is there anything, you know, we talk about a copycat league. No one's been able to copycat what this group does, New England. But what's the takeaway?
Well, the takeaway is that had Parkey made a field goal, the Bears very well could have been in that game. Obviously, it should have, could have, would have. We don't know that for sure. But just watching how the NFC playoffs went, the Bears are right in the running as being one of the top teams in the NFC. And being with contracts the way they are, they're going to have just about everybody back next year. So there's no reason they shouldn't be in the running for the big game again next year. Because, you know, the good news is that on the offensive side of the ball, you're in the second year of a system. Everybody's going to be on the same page. And instead of starting from scratch, you're at full go when training camp starts. And I think that's going to make a big difference.
You know, Greg, we're in that kind of lull in the NFL calendar after the Super Bowl. You're waiting for the NFL Combine at the end of this month, and a lot of the evaluation process is underway, and some of that involves sort of the public nature of these prospects. And Kyler Murray had a very awkward interview on the Dan Patrick Show. I don't know if you saw it or not, but the reaction to his sort of reticence, or however you want to describe it, has led some people to say, well, yeah, maybe there's some things about this kid we need to look into further. How much of that is, what did you think of the Kyler Murray interview if you saw it? And then overall, generally speaking, when we look at these things and see these kids handle themselves publicly, do we overstate the significance and the importance of these kind of appearances?
Well, number one, I didn't see the interview, but then you look at it, what is he, 21, 22 years old? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how often are you going to be polished in an interview at that age? And I really put no significance into it at all. I think he's in a situation where he's already under contract to Major League Baseball. He can get out of that contract. It's going to cost him money. So he's got to make a determination, do I want to play football or do I want to play baseball? And from a monetary point of view, and I don't know exactly how the contract reads, but if he's not like a top 15, top 18 type player, he's losing money playing football. Now, how can you say, you know, a couple months before the draft, 3 months before the draft, that he's going to go that high in the draft, being that nobody knows how tall he is? The guess is he's about 5'9 and a half, you know, just based on him standing next to other people. That makes him 3 inches shorter than the number one pick last year. And, you know, some people want to compare him to Jackson from the Baltimore Ravens. Well, Jackson's 5 or 6 inches taller. So, I mean, it's an entirely different type of player. I talked to one former general manager last week, and I said, you know, would you take him? And he said, he intrigues me because of the talent and what he can do with his feet in today's offense. He said, but I'd never take him in the first round. He said, I'd take him in the first pick of the second round, only because of the stigma attached to a first round pick, and that if he busts, what comes down. But talking to another guy yesterday, I think he's going in the first round. you know, would I have the nuts to do it? Probably not. But, you know, there hasn't been a lot of success or any success outside of Doug Flutie with a guy that short.
How does the quarterback class look? And is it going to be used, Greg, as a bargaining chip? It seems like there's a lot of defensive linemen. Seems like a lot of teams picking high have quarterbacks already.
Well, I mean, that's where the teams that want a quarterback. And to me, Haskins from Ohio State is standalone as the top quarterback in this draft. And I could argue that he should be the first player in the draft if you're going to take a quarterback. Arizona's got the first pick. They took a quarterback last year, so they're not going to be in the market. But that means what can they get in a trade down? And would that benefit them more than staying at number one? And it probably would. Looking at this year's class, they're going to have a lot of holes, and they need to fill a lot of needs, probably more picks, and you wouldn't have to trade down that far. There's probably going to be another team sitting there that's going to want to jump up and get the best quarterback. So if Haskins doesn't go first, he's probably going to go second or third. But, I think he's easily as good as any of the quarterbacks taken last year.
Greg, we played
The depth of the class, though, I don't think is as good as in other years. You know, like this Jones kid from Duke, people are pushing him. He's a smart quarterback. He's instinctive. He sees the field real good. He's accurate. He's got a very average arm, and he's not that athletic. So in today's game, is that the type of guy you want?
Greg, we played a clip a little while ago about the pregame before the Super Bowl. Sean McVay and Bill Belichick, and Sean McVay, frankly, did sound like a teenager meeting his idol, and I think that's understandable because of what stature Bill Belichick has in the game. And yet I wonder, is there such a thing as a coach being intimidated or starry-eyed or being, you know, looking at his across the sidelines and being psyched out by what he sees in his counterpart?
There can be, David, and just look at the age difference. McVay is half the age of Bill Belichick, when I came into the league with the Giants in 1984, Belichick was already a veteran coach, you know, and that's 35, 36 years ago. So what he has done, and he is obviously the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League compared to a guy who's an up-and-comer, who's, you know, 32, 33 years old. Yeah, I think it can be intimidated. Plus the magnitude of that game and the first time he's on that big stage. Not only was the stage big for some of the players with the Rams, especially Jared Goff, but I think it was a little big for the coach.
You know, Greg, I was just looking at the draft value chart, and I understand that it doesn't really mean anything. There's not a ton of it's just something that is a guideline, let's say. But I was looking at the Bears drafts, and they pick first in the third round. And now we don't know where that pick would be because there's going to be some compensatory picks that will come probably before they choose. So we don't know exactly where, but if you just counted it up right now, the third round pick would be about 88th. And if you take their third rounder, they got a total of five picks, a third rounder, a fourth rounder, a fifth rounder, and 2 7ths. They would have basically enough to take all those picks and move up to about the fourth pick in the third round. I mean, it's just not a lot behind you. How do you handle a draft when you don't pick in the first round or the second round and your first pick in the draft is at the bottom of the third round?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And I think, you know, you don't spend as much time on guys that are obviously going to go in the first round. Unless you have some sort of plan that can find you back in the first. But let's be realistic here. That's probably not going to happen. And in my last draft with the Bears, we didn't have a first or second round pick. You know, we weren't picking until the third round. So you start concentrating on those players. And
that was the pool jumper, right? Was that the pool jumper draft?
John Gilbert.
Pool jumper draft.
That's right.
So and you had me on like the day after that draft talking about him.
But, you predicted greatness.
He did.
I don't remember that.
I don't either.
When you're picking
at the bottom of the third round,
right.
You know, it's a whole different story.
I just kidding.
As if you know you're picking in the first and second round. So number one, you got to anticipate what's going to be there, and you don't know exactly how that's going to work. And so really your homework, the preparation is really harder because you have to do an inordinate amount of work on those guys that are going to be those middle round picks. And you have to be right because, you know, your highest pick is going to be a third round guy, and you want him to come on and be a contributor, not necessarily be a starter, but be a contributor. And so it's just really important that you do enough background work on these players to make sure you're right.
Greg, the Patriots have 12 picks they're projected to be selecting in the NFL right. this year's draft, and that's amazing, and three in the third round. And I just wonder, you look at the rich getting richer, and obviously the draft is a crapshoot. We know all this stuff. But when they do things as well as they have done things and they have success in the draft, is there a particular trait that they seek that others don't, or that they value more than other teams do? Are there more than one, you know, trait that you look at and they say, that's a Patriot player?
Well, you know, I think he looks for players that, from both a character, and I mean football character, not necessarily personal character, but from a football character standpoint, football intelligence standpoint, guys that fit into what he wants to do. So he finds fits, but he also attaches value to each player in the draft. Now, they're going to be picking 32nd in the first round. If he does, you know, when it gets to their pick, if he doesn't see a guy that he legitimately feels is a first-round pick, for him, he'll trade out of that pick, and he right. doesn't care. And he's done it, you know, a gazillion times before, and trade back into the second round, and where he sees the value better than picking the guy in the first round. That's the way he's been doing things for years. He's very successful at it. People always criticize him on draft day, yet he comes home the winner. And obviously, he's been in the last three Super Bowls and won six, so he's doing something right.
Craig, we'll let you go just quickly. If you got to kind of throw out need, right? I mean, as much as people want to get a good, you just need a player. You need the best player on the board, don't you? It when you're drafting that late.
Well, yeah, but needs have a way of
becoming the best player. Up, that's right,
yeah. Best player on the board. But I mean, that's only because you sometimes overvalue that. But when you're going to get into a situation like at the bottom of the third round, and let's say you've got a group of about five or six players that have relatively the same grade. So now it's, because their grades are very, very similar, it's, okay, who can help us the most this year? And who has the most upside of that of the players involved? And then you make the selection from that grouping.
Very good, Greg. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
That is our guy, Greg Gabriel.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.